Welcome to Two Chicks, Three Seats, the podcast that takes a look at the hospitality industry's hottest topics.
Two Chicks, Three Seats is hosted by Kate Kennedy and Rachel Calkins and is brought to you by Triple Seat, the industry leader in event management software.
Find out more about Triple Seat at tripleseat.com. Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Two Chicks, Three Seats. We hope that you've made it through the hectic month of January and that your holiday event season is well behind you and you're feeling like you met all of your goals and you can finally breathe again. We've made it through. It's now February. So we hope that in other terms, your 2023 is off to a great start. And if you need any other pointers on how to get your year going even more, then check out our previous episode, number 77, where we cover key event sales, event marketing, restaurant sales, and Triple Seat best practices for starting the year off right.
That was a great episode.
That was a great episode. It's gotten a lot of listens. People like it.
I like it.
We love the little tangible tips that you can take. But yeah, in the spirit of thematic and timely episodes, today we're going to be talking about how venues can bring in revenue for two specific February holidays, Valentine's Day and Super Bowl Sunday. And so ironically enough, but also I guess this does happen every year, but just if I noticed it more this year than ever. Super Bowl
every year though, right? Like I feel like is the Super Bowl always on the second Sunday?
Super Bowl is always on the second, yes. And so when I was doing this research, because it stood out to me this year, how Super Bowl Sunday falls on February 12th, and then Valentine's Day falls on Tuesday the 14th, so 2 days later. And so I feel like I never noticed how close together they are. But it always happens this way. But because last year they were saying how Valentine's Day was on Monday, like the day after. So
remember this from my days working events and restaurants. So funny that like, I think I just completely blocked it out. Probably because you know how much I hate Valentine's Day, but I don't know, but they're both big money makers. So I'm surprised in my brain that I didn't put this together.
I know. Cause like with Valentine's Day, I feel like it's always thought of as Valentine's Day weekend. And like normally it's the weekend prior because I feel like celebrating the weekend after it's like, I don't know. I feel like people normally do it like prior to the holiday. And so, yeah. And like, obviously there's going to be crossover with like the type of clientele you have. So like restaurants who have TVs and have that sports bar vibe could also accommodate Valentine's Day. Obviously like the higher end restaurants, they're not maybe going to be having Super Bowl promotions, but interesting.
I do have a vague memory of my nightclub, busy bar days of we did like a Cupid's revenge party on Saturday and Sunday we did Super Bowl and the Patriots were in the Super Bowl. I remember this. And we were all we went to bed at 4 a.m. and then came right back to work Super Bowl parties. And I remember it was a great money making weekend, but it was on Monday, I thought I was going to die. So I do have a little bit of a big weekend money wise though. Big weekend.
Yeah. I know. So busy, obviously lots of opportunity for revenue. So I guess we're going to dive into both Valentine's Day and Super Bowl and talk about how you can be bringing that revenue as best as possible. And our favorite Valentine's Day enthusiast, Kate here, is going to start us off with the topic and she's going to keep it reeled in, but still show her opinions because we all know how she feels about Valentine's Day.
We're reeling it in, everybody. I'm reeling it in. For those of you that don't know, you should go back and listen to our first episode of all time. That was the one it was on, right? Where I just
first or second.
And I went off on a tangent, which isn't surprising for those of you who listen to our podcast often. I like to go on tangents about things, especially things I don't like. So Valentine's Day is one of those. And my hatred spurs from working in restaurants my whole life. Like that's why I hate it. I don't know. I also think it's a ripoff. So anyways, moving, but this podcast is for people who work in the hospitality industry. So it's okay if I say that because I'm not saying it to your customers, I'm saying it to you. So we all know already how overpriced and not worth it is, but that's because we want to make money. So that's what it's all about. So let's talk about making money now, right? So here's a few examples of what you can implement for a la carte dining and reservations. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. You know, OpenTable provides an awesome article with ideas on how to experience-ify. Did I say that? Experience-ify. Yeah. The things you are already doing for Valentine's Day. So happy hours. Rachel loves this one. She came up with some good examples last year on our Valentine's Day episode about ways to rename your normal happy hour into a specific Valentine's Day happy hour with cute names for your classic cocktails. Kiss Me Kamikaze. Does anyone drink kamikazes anymore? Are those making a comeback? Am I out of the loop?
No, I just wanted one that had a K in front of it. So that's why I went with it.
Kiss me, Kamikaze. Actually, kamikazes are basically like a lemon drop martini. So you could just do this in that way. People don't know. It's cute. I like it. Prefix menus are another way. So if you already have a certain prefix menu, just put a Valentine's Day spin on the menu items. We all know how to do that in the industry. We do it every year usually, but Valentine's Day is also the perfect time to require prepayment as to reduce like no shows and guarantee the business. And OpenTable, I believe, allows you to do that when you're, and Resy does too, when you're making a reservation, you can require a credit card beforehand. So weekend brunch is another way to capitalize. If you already serve brunch on the weekends, now just make this particular weekend of brunch into a Valentine's Day theme. You can do heart-shaped pancakes instead of round, rose petals on the table, pink mimosas instead of the regular orange ones. There's so many ideas you could do for breakfast. And then if you want to add that extra something to the menu, OpenTable also gives these easy suggestions that can be implemented for the days surrounding Valentine's Day. So a champagne toast, which is very romantic. OpenTable recommends adding a sparkling wine special by the glass to your normal drink menu and calling it a champagne toast. You could also play around with decor. So this one is huge. It can easily make a big difference. Make your restaurant space feel romantic. And like, that's the first step to guests feeling like this is more than just a regular night out and your restaurant is the reason why. So fresh flowers on tables, actual candles. If you can't use candles, act real candles. You can use the ones that flicker, the fake ones that flicker. Romantic music, colorful tablecloths. I mean, I'm thinking like, you know, Sex and the City, the first movie. With the balloons hanging from the ceiling and like they get in the fight, but then like she can't get out because she's like with the balloons like hitting them everywhere. I always thought that was so funny. I feel like New York restaurants really do it big for Valentine's Day for sure. Rachel, you'll have to report back on this if you and your girlfriends, you're going to do a Galentine's Day?
I think I might have to.
Yeah, I might do a Galentine's Day because my husband and I don't care. So, okay. So the another suggestion from OpenTable is an aphrodisiac menu. Rachel and I love this one. So adding an aphrodisiac into every course to enhance the mood for love, right? So oysters, obviously. Figs are another one that I think are pretty commonly known as an aphrodisiac. Chili peppers, strawberries. And then this one really got Rachel and I, asparagus.
So we didn't know.
Apparently, guys, asparagus is considered an aphrodisiac. And I Googled it and I'm going to read it and I don't care. So apparently asparagus is high in vitamin E, which increases blood and oxygen flow to the genitals. So there's that, guys.
What did you know?
Who knew? I love asparagus.
And you didn't even realize the effect that it has.
I mean, I know the negative effect it has on like, you know, late in the evening, but that I didn't know. And now we know, guys, asparagus. Maybe that's why all those stupid brick chickens that they put in restaurants in Valentine's Day come with asparagus.
People knew all along. We just were late to the party.
Your $40 brick chicken on Valentine's Day is going to come with asparagus now. So, and then some other things, going the extra mile, you can do events and creative packages. So, what is an act of love that we often see done on or around Valentine's Day? What is it, Rachel?
It's proposals, as cheesy as it is.
It's funny. It is really cheesy, but it's cute too. So OpenTable gives suggestions on how you can offer an easy proposal package to give your guests the Valentine's Day they will remember forever. And this proposal package experience could include a special menu catered towards the couple, the service of hiding the ring, a server in on the surprise, a snap a photo, a glass of bubbly ready on hand, clapping patrons behind you, unless she says no. And then of course, I don't know what happens then. But to take this a step further, and you likely would have had to already plan this out at one point, but the restaurant could potentially use one of its private dining rooms for a proposal after party, gathering for friends and family of the couple to wait and surprise the couple, which I think is great. I did not get engaged on Valentine's Day, thank God. But my husband did propose and then planned a party with literally every single friend that I have and all of our family. There was 100 people there. And I don't know how he did it without me knowing, but they all came and we all celebrated 20 minutes after the proposal. So I highly recommend going that route. It's awesome. And then if this sort of proposal setup doesn't happen on Valentine's Day, the days surrounding Valentine's Day could still be just as impactful and potential for the opportunity with everyone's schedules. So I think, and Rachel, you mentioned that you saw an email, actually, a marketing email that talked about using a restaurant as a proposal location.
Yeah, it was a promotional email from one of our customers who reached out, and they said how showed photos of the space and said we're great for proposals, and so book your proposal event. It doesn't have to be on Valentine's Day, but like we said, the surrounding dates too. They're trying to use that opportunity and the romantic space that they have to capitalize on the season of love, as they said.
Love that. I think it's such a cute idea. I mean, what a great, if your restaurant is right for that, then I think it's a great promotion to send out to the masses. Why not?
I know it was different too. I've never seen that before.
I have never seen that either. And then of course, that gets you more marketing because they're going to post it on social, in this age. So yeah, I love all those ideas, especially the asparagus.
Put asparagus on your menu.
I'm making asparagus for Valentine's Day this year. It's happening.
So we want to shout out a couple of the promotions that we've been seeing online from some customers and one not customer of ours. So specifically, Dante, which is a restaurant in the West Village of Manhattan. A lot of these are New York City based because, that's where I live now. But upon looking on their website, I found one of their Valentine's Day cocktail promotions that can actually be enjoyed at home. So I thought this was fun because it's a way that they can accommodate the patrons that aren't going to be at the restaurant, but still have an opportunity to sell something to at-home people. So the Valentine's Day cocktail is called the Rose and Heart of Gold. And the promotion, as it read on the website, says, send is the perfect Valentine's gift for any cocktail lover to enjoy at home with the one you love, or to enjoy at home with one you love. Each gift box complete with illustrated coasters, matches, Dante's signature playlist, recipes, and tips from our award-winning team. And then you go to the online store and you can place the cocktail order for delivery or pickup with the link that they had. So that, I thought that was a fun way to celebrate at home if you don't want to go out to dinner that night, just a fun, something different to do as a couple or with friends. They also have their $95 prefix menu in the restaurant that's open for reservations, but they had that other fun little element as well. Oscar Wilde in New York City, who we talk about around the holiday season because they are the standard of incredible jaw-dropping decor for the holidays. And so if you remember, we talked about them during the Christmas season and Halloween. They literally go way over the top, more than you would ever see a venue do. And so according to Instagram, their Valentine's Day promotion is a 3-course prefix menu in their, quote, temptation room. And it is offered strictly on February 14th, Tuesday. And so looking at, this temptation room on their Instagram reels, their Valentine's Day decor in the room is made up of teddy bears everywhere, hanging from every corner of the ceiling, Valentine's Day signs, hearts, twinkling lights, it's literally to the max. So check them out on Instagram and see it for yourself too, but it's pretty wild. And then a last example is Ophelia, which is the New York City rooftop in Manhattan. And so this one I thought was a little bit different. It's outside of the prefix menu as well, but it's an event that they're promoting essentially in the style of an event. So They are a rooftop lounge. And so on February 14th, they're hosting this event that they're promoting and selling tickets for through Eventbrite. So a formal event with various breakdowns for attending. So the general admission ticket is $37 when you arrive between 5 and 7 p.m., which then gives you a welcome glass of champagne, a long stem rose, and then standing room access. And then they offer the same style general admission package for $49 when you arrive on the later side. So between 7 to 11 p.m., they put the price up a little bit higher. And then after these general admission packages, they also offer different reservation times and quantities for tables of two, with minimums around like $250 or $300, depending on the reservation time. And then these also include bottle of champagne, truffles at the table, long stem rose, and then you get your own server. So this is kind of like more of a night out experience, which I thought was different, and opposed to like, you know, a quiet romantic evening, because they are that whole like rooftop lounge. You know, you get the rooftop views and the energy that would be at that kind of venue, which I thought was unique. And then them selling the tickets through Eventbrite was something a little bit different that I feel like you don't see as often, because it is an event and a little more unique for the holiday, but something fun.
And like spending $250 to $300 in New York City at a bar is gonna happen pretty quickly, I would imagine. So
of course.
That's cool. I like that. That might be, and that's like more, like you said, it's more like fun and not so like, you know, romantic and I don't know.
Right. I know. I wonder if they like, just another idea would be like this, but like a single spin on it. So that general admission ticket, but then like everyone there is kind of single. And so it's essentially like a mingle for singles.
Yeah. I like that. A mingle for singles. Look at you.
I hate myself.
I loved it. You just made a promotion. Someone's stealing that. And then just a few ways here that are tips that on ways that you can promote your Valentine's Day promotions. Obviously, social media and email are the big ones. So add a link to your reservation pages, include photos, use special Valentine's Day specific messaging. Use if you're a Triple C customer, use your Triple C, you know, all of your Triple C assets. Like you could do the lead form for reservations for this and kind of work it out the same way that you do a regular event lead in with specific messaging for Valentine's Day. You could consider reaching out to your repeat customers, pull that list from Triple C or your whatever CRM you use and reach back out to them and tell them all your specials. And then, you know, email. I would keep it cute and like either go, you got to go one of two ways for Valentine's Day, right? Like you got to be like funny and ironic or like cutesy and romantic. So whatever your venue vibe is, like go for that and make the subject line hit hard. You know, it's gotta be impactful, that subject line, and either funny or romantic, or maybe both, maybe funny and romantic. I don't know. I always lean towards funny. I always open emails where the subject line is funny to me, because I'm like, oh, good job. Maybe I won't read the email, but I open it.
I'm hoping I receive a promotional email that has aphrodisiac references in the subject line. That would be really honestly funny.
I'm like, I might send out a marketing email that has nothing to do with Valentine's Day that literally just says, did you know asparagus was an aphrodisiac? It's happening. I'm doing dead. It. But yeah, I mean, keeping it simple, make sure that you have a clear CTA in your email so that people know like what, and also in social posts and stuff. So they know, you know, click here to book your reservation or for more information or whatever it may be. Be clear in the email, be short, succinct, add pictures or photos if you can, of your space or of the food or both. Yeah. I mean, make it fun, make it simple, and make sure you target the right people. I think those are the most important points there. But Valentine's Day, it's a great money making holiday. It's not really a holiday, but it's a great money-making day. You know, you might as well capitalize on it for sure.
For sure. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day.
So moving into the other highlight of that time frame and a few weeks away is Super Bowl Sunday. So Super Bowl Sunday is also another money-making holiday for the hospitality industry, whether you're a restaurant, bar, if you have a TV, then people could be there watching the game essentially. So just to kind of like bring it back and think about what you could be offering. So people's priorities on Super Bowl Sunday, food, beer, huge TVs, and essentially a space to come together with other fans to celebrate. So your local team may not be in the Super Bowl game this year, but either you one have like transplant fans living in your area who are I hate to say it, but Chiefs and Eagles fans, my two least favorite teams in the league.
It's not a year for Rachel. It's not a year. Well, it's just, you know, you can drink more during.
I can drink more.
You're not going to care. So
because Josh Allen is not going to be on my screen this year, like he hasn't been every Super Bowl year, but you're going to have. Yeah. So I hate them both, Chiefs and Eagles. But regardless, you know, either you have those transplant fans who live, you know, in New York City, there's specific bars that say that they're Buffalo Bills backed or Kansas City Chiefs backed. So you'll have those fans coming together to still watch the game. And then also it's just a fun holiday. Like I'm going to watch the game regardless of being a fan. I don't know what I'm doing yet, but I'm probably going to go out somewhere and watch it and have that kind of energy. So that's like what people are looking for to enjoy the game. So with that information out in the open, what can your venue do to attract fans to come to your bar, restaurant instead of another place in their local area? So some fun things are Super Bowl game day packages. So bars have done this throughout the season and especially on game days slash times when their local team is playing. So just take this idea and put a Super Bowl spin on the promotion. And so the Buffalo Bills bar that I went to actually to watch them lose to the Bengals, they did a fun promotion that was $60 per person, unlimited beer and wings package. And then when you're sitting there for, you know, 3 hours, you're definitely getting the bang for your buck as a fan. Yeah, it's New York City pricing too. Like that's a lot of stuff. And then as the restaurant or the bar, you're capitalizing on the guaranteed per person price because they do say if you're with a group, everyone has to participate. Kind of like they do that a lot of the times with like bottomless sort of style offerings.
It is really smart. And you might think that first you might lose money, but you wouldn't because there are people in my experience that will come to watch just because they want to be around fans. So they go out to watch the game, but they drink like one beer and then a Coke and have like five wings, like that's it.
Right.
So this is smart. Definitely. For sure.
And they actually required cash only for the bill, which was another interesting thing.
A little sketchy,
but that was just another way they offered something. And then they also, as another different promotion at the same bar that I went to, they had, and I know other bars do this, like an all you can eat buffet. It was just kind of like a different style of service to offer the similar unlimited style of promotion. And then other ways to have fun with like your packages and promotions. So since the teams in the Super Bowl are the Chiefs and the Eagles, then you can do your promotions around specific players or plays that could happen during the game and that you could like promote these promotions that you will be offering during the game to entice people to come and watch it because it would be a fun thing to take part in. So maybe you are want like a Chiefs bar or an Eagles bar. So this could be a fun way to bring in customers and say like, oh, we're going to get a free round to everyone in the bar if the Chiefs are the first to score, that kind of thing. So something fun around the actual happenings of the game. And then Super Bowl Sunday is a big betting day. So just, you know, tread carefully, but adding into this energy, like in that sort of sense, like, oh, whoever scores first or first to win a field goal or to kick a field goal gets this. That could be a fun way to make it like a fun game day spot.
Yeah, you could also like, we did like in the past bars I worked at, we did like that type of special, but then for like the people in the crowd that may not care about the game as much as other people, we always did like halftime show specials. So like, you know, we'd have like, if it was this year, we'd have drinks, like special drinks around like Rihanna or whatever. Yep. Like people would bet on like the first, like the opening song, like what the opening song would be. And you'd get like a free round of shots if you were right about the opening song. Like we did stuff like that too, for people who like weren't into the game itself and more into the halftime show. Cause there are a lot of people who literally go out to watch the Super Bowl, just watch the commercials.
Yeah. I was going to say around the ads too.
Yeah. The ads. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I had down here like something around a halftime thing, but like making it around Rihanna and like, that's fun too. I love that. Like the first song, that's cool. And then just other like a more eventy sort of packages to bring in the event revenue. If your bar does have a huge space for like large crowds of people, you could be offering specific game day viewing party packages in those private rooms. So if you have the ability if you have a private room that could fit like say 20 people and it has TVs everywhere, then people could come in and get guaranteed that seamless experience in their own private room. And like if they can make reservations ahead of time for this kind of group using your Triple C lead form to capture this information, that's another way that you could be enticing those bigger group guaranteed event size bookings. And then just a couple other random ideas. So obviously community and camaraderie is a big element of the Super Bowl. So playing into that in any way you can is going to be a fun way to get everyone involved. So obviously Kansas City and Philadelphia are definitely cold cities right now, but this could work potentially in like a transplant sort of bar city, like in California or where it's warmer. But if you have an outdoor space, even if it's like a heated outdoor space for a larger viewing party where you could stream the game on like a huge screen and then charge XYZ for food and beverage minimums, takeout specials too. So some people obviously prefer to watch the game from home. And so offering some sort of Super Bowl themed takeout package could accommodate those kind of people. And then contests is another fun one around football, eating, sports. Maybe you have your biggest fan contest. So if everyone's wearing their fan gear, you choose a judge ahead of time to determine who wins and there's some prize, or like an eating contest, like a wing eating contest, and then just charging like an entrance fee at the beginning. So all fun.
And then some examples of some promotions that Rachel's seeing in New York City. So the Keg Room, which is an upscale, casual American, like Irish type pub and restaurant, they have 36 TVs and 4 large projector screens. They're offering Super Bowl Sunday table reservations. You have to book in advance. There's no game day reservations like on site, and the minimum spend of $30 per guest at reserve table, so per guest, not table, is required, which is taken as a deposit when you book the reservation. And they take their reservations on talk. So obviously, you know, in this case, if you're going to go out to watch the game, then they specify certain reservations as reservation with TV view or no TV view, which, like, I don't know why you go out on Super Bowl Sunday and get a table with no view. But and also, where in this bar with 36 TVs and 4 large projector screens is there a table without table, like, a TV view?
I think it meant it was outside.
Okay, that, like, baffles. That baffles me. Like, how is that possible? At a bar I used to work at, we actually had in, like, the main bar area, there was, like, 8 TVs, like, on like, you know, around the bar. But then each table had their own TV with their own sound, which always worked really well for a Super Bowl. But anyways, this is really funny to me with that many TVs. But it could obviously be a solution if you want to go out with your, you know, football friend crew and don't personally care about the game, then maybe that is a good choice for you.
Don't care about anything, not even the halftime show. Not even the halftime show,
because you can't see anything. It's like when you buy tickets to a concert and it's like obstructed view and you're literally like at Fenway, you're sitting in front of like any game for that matter. I've definitely gone to baseball games where I'm like literally in front of a bowl. I'm like, why is there a seat here? Why? Fenway is the weirdest place. It's like there's like a lot of seats at Fenway where you can't see in front of you. It's like so strange. Why did they put this seat here? We used to get those seats when I worked at Cask and Flag, and we used to get free tickets to like go into a game like when we weren't busy during the game. And like sometimes the seats would be that. And I'd just be like, that's, hey, so guys, funny. I'm just gonna tap on this bowl. Everyone else watches the game. So weird. And then another example is Tito Murphy's Bar. So this is actually a Mexican restaurant and bar, which obviously isn't like normally the go-to for watching a sports game, but they have 18 TVs at their restaurant, so plenty of opportunity for watching. And who doesn't like a good plate of nachos when you're watching football? Just saying, it's like my favorite football snack, and chili for that matter. Although chili's not really Mexican. It's more like Texan. But their package is a bit different than the traditional like wings and beer package. For $60, you can get an open bar with margaritas, sangria, beer, wine, and then you can get unlimited tacos and also wings. I mean, it sounds pretty good,
actually. I think it's a fun way to switch it up, you know. I think that's cool, good for them for capitalizing on that, because some people don't want just the wings and beers. I mean, unlimited margaritas, that's I feel like a crowd pleaser.
That is, it's also very dangerous.
Yeah, have extra people on staff that night.
Right? And can we just do like a shout out to the Mexican Irish bars out there? Like Tito Murphy's, it's just, I mean, Boston has quite a few of these Mexican Irish type situations. And I love it. I love everything about it. I'm just going to say it. It's such a funny phenomenon to me. Like,
yeah,
it's strange, but I love it. I think it's like, I also think it's a very East Coast thing. Like, I think it's like, you don't see it anywhere else. But anyways, Tito Murphy's. What was the one in Boston that was super popular? This is probably before you. It was something Murphy's. It was very like really popular back in the day. This is definitely before your time. And then also Tribeca Social, and they're promoting theirs using Eventbrite. Doors open 4 p.m. until late in the evening. It's free admission for everyone watching, wearing an NFL team jersey, and otherwise $10 per person. So that's cute. It's just a fun way to get people into your bar. Great idea. I feel like everyone's going to be wearing an NFL team jersey that day.
I know. I feel like it's all, I don't have a Bills jersey, but I have a t-shirt for Stefon Diggs.
Actually, that is like, how, where do you draw the line there? Because a lot of people don't actually own jerseys. I don't own a jersey. I have t-shirts, but I don't own a jersey. That's true. Never really thought of that.
Jersey is like the next level fandom because those things are expensive.
They're wicked expensive. And I also would rather a t-shirt or a sweatshirt because it's more comfortable. Jerseys are very, I think I have a Bruins jersey. Could I just wear a Bruins jersey? I have two Bruins jerseys, actually.
Go football.
I don't watch football. All right. Can we have a Super Bowl for, I mean, can we have to, people should do these events for Stanley Cup. They don't, but they should, in my opinion.
You agree, Rachel. I know. I'm a Rangers fan. And so I'm happy to see the Bruins on a 3-day losing streak, which is great.
I know. They were doing so well too. I don't, I could go off on a tangent right now, but anyways, it's fine. It's fine.
But
everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Everything's but yeah. And then just for promotion for Super Bowl stuff too, social media is going to be a huge place. Instagram, especially reaching out again, like Valentine's Day, to your regulars who already know and love you. And especially if you're in like a college town, a big sports city, or like in the city of one of the teams. And then even just like working with local publications to get your name out there. People will literally be Google searching where to watch the Super Bowl 2023. And so get your promotions out there on the interwebs and people will find you. So,
and for all of those people out there who don't, or who also run like catering options, catering's big on the Super Bowl, I think. Not so much on Valentine's Day, but Super Bowl catering's a big opportunity for sure because there's tons of home viewing parties. So if you can capitalize on that too, probably a smart idea. I know I'll be watching it at home. I'm assuming. I don't, who brings kids to a bar on Super Bowl Sunday? It's not fun for anybody.
Yeah. But it's the perfect excuse to be ordering takeout in like a catering
100%.
Package.
100%. Yep. I'll order all the catering.
Love it. All right. Well, hopefully you're bringing in that revenue for Valentine's Day and Super Bowl. And we can't wait to see more promotions from our customers online, and hope it's a successful weekend week because double the money. Yeah, month.
It's a short month. You know, February is tough to meet that quota because it's a short month. And you're coming off of those holiday, like you're just tired. So it is nice to have the two options for some holidays, you know, in a cold, in a lot of places, cold, dreary, short month. Although February, for some reason, as we all know, is the shortest month, but feels the longest every year.
100%.
Always feels the longest. So happy February, everybody. We're in
bring
it.
Bring in those sales.
And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Two Chicks, Three Seats, your events industry podcast brought to you by Triple Seat, the industry leader for event management software.
Find out more about Triple Seat at tripleseat.com.